Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Darn, snap out of it!
Oh my god!
Get all the yelling out right now.
Overcooked pasta of arms.
Ow!
Are you okay? You look a little stunned.
Oh no!
You think you had it bad?
Someone needs to get them organized, and we can't do it. We gotta go.
Levi, Levon. I love it.
No, we gotta go. We gotta get out of here.
If you want real spiders, I can offer real spiders.
I was just being a fucking hero.
Whoa!
Woo!
Now it's our chance to make a difference. To Deadstone Cleft!
And he lifts his axe in the air.
Wow, a good night's sleep really puts Doran in a good mood.
He's way peppier.
The
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is Season 2, Episode 45, Cast the First Stone.
This week's MVP is Loggerhead Ninja. They just joined our Discord having listened to Dice Shame, Divisor, and are now working their way through Malevolent. Thanks for joining us, Loggerhead Ninja. You're this week's MVP.
Ren Brooks is a friend and fan who recently sat down with me to talk about Divisor, my 7-episode limited series available everywhere now. In the interview, we talked about anything and everything concerning the show, and it was an absolute blast. If you're a fan of Divisor, the interview is available now for all patrons. But more importantly, if you're a fan of creative people with excellent writing skills, check out Ren's Substack at adrianbrook.substack.com. That's adrianbrooke.substack.com. You can sign up for their newsletter and get updates on their upcoming book. Head there now. You won't regret it. All right, shall we do it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Woo!
All right.
So I've been playing a ton of Breath of the Wild recently because, I don't know, video games I either pick up immediately when it's early access and feel done with it before they fully release it, or I'm like 5 years too late. It's kind of the two speeds, but it's awesome. I'm having a great time. There's a lot of like wandering around cooking stuff, and it's had me thinking both like about our characters wandering around cooking stuff, but then like, what's your go-to camp meal? Like if you're out in the woods camping, whatever, what's your like, this is the thing that I'm going to make that's delicious?
Dragonfly sandwiches.
What?
Wait, with actual dragonflies?
That's right. Nope. Harlan runs around and hatches them.
Dragonfly sandwiches. Long. So we took Henry camping when he was three. He was very young. And we wanted to make it easy. We did one night, you know, and had it all kind of set up, slept in tents. It was very, very cute. Wonderful little memory that we filmed and everything like that. But I remember wanting to make kind of a signature meal that we could like, you know, have. It's our camping food. So I can't remember how I was researching sandwiches or something. I was kind of looking around at like fun sandwiches. It wasn't to do with camping, just kind of fun ideas. And someone was saying like, oh, you know, like the charcuterie board type sandwich, which is like a creamy cheese, a salty meat, like a little bit of spice, and like a compote is really, really good. And that kind of got distilled down to a nice like fresh baguette bun. And what we bought was spicy salami, strawberry jam, and brie.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Wrapped in tinfoil and put on the fireplace. And the sandwich has versions, connotations, but there's no like official title for it. And Joe and I were like, well, we want to make it a family sandwich. We want to create like a family sandwich that we can refer to, that Henry can. So we pitched ideas, Henry as well, like saying random like cute little words. And we landed on dragonfly sandwich. So we have not only an official go-to camping food, but one that we also created ourselves.
Wow, that's delightful.
Yeah, that's very cute.
Adorable.
That is cute. Yeah.
No, dragonfly sandwiches. I highly recommend them. They're fantastic.
It sounds good.
They get bread gets all toasty, and the cheese gets all melty and gooey.
And obviously, the spicy salami with the jam is just like, oh, it's like a charcuterie board, right?
Yeah.
Mine comes from a memory that's a little bit older than that. I just remember going camping and stopping off at the roadside like farm stands on the way into a campground and picking up fresh produce. So there'd be like corn and potatoes and tomatoes and whatever. And for me, my favorite thing would be to, in the morning, cook tomatoes and fresh garlic in a skillet over the fire so it gets all stewed, and eat that on top of bread that you also toast on the fire. So it's like this really rustic
amazing
tomatoes on toast first thing, and it's so fucking delicious.
That would be so good.
So good. I want some right now. Let's go camping, folks.
Done. I'm in.
Dyson goes camping. Will we actually survive?
One night.
There's a bear out there. Roll for initiative.
Harlan and I always play D&D when we go camping.
Oh, yeah. We play D&D by the fire.
Alex,
do you go camping? Are you campers?
I haven't been properly camping in a painful amount of time. I've gone to a lot of like cottages and stuff. I used to camp a lot when I was a kid with my family, but I haven't been in like a long time. So when I think about being out in the woods, I think about hiking, because I hike a lot and I like to hike. And when my sibling and I were doing The Bruce Trail, we were doing these days where it'd be like somewhere between 40 and 50K a day. Oof, and
wow.
Yeah. So we would do, you'd start at like 7 a.m. and then you would hike until you get to like somewhere between, 40 and 50K. And then you'd go, and then you'd sleep, and then you'd wake up the next day and you'd be like, guess I'll do this again.
my fucking legs are jelly.
Sounds kind of awesome.
It
actually.
I would need to go do more of it. I think I've done about maybe 250K of the Bruce Trail.
Wow.
And yeah, Cam's beating me. Cam's got like 500 because they took a bunch of time. So I know it's very rude.
Fuck but, you, Cam.
was our activity.
Yeah. So when I think about being out in the woods, I think about fucking little gel packs, like the energy packs and the energy chews. And I those things save your life. I used to think they were dumb. And then I started doing that. And I was like, oh, wait, these are actually amazing. Because I was hammering back like
I'm on energy powders.
Oh my God. Just right off my hand. Yeah.
Yo, did you do your energy powder drink yet?
There's like these energy, there's like this chews where they have caffeine in them and they're salted watermelon flavor. Boy. And I love those. But yeah, I used to do, I ran track for a lot of years and I wish I had had those. I wish I had had those one at the time, but now I'm just like, salted energy chews.
Is there like a maximum dosage for those?
Whatever I was eating. That's where you probably should
I imagine
stop.
You were definitely overdoing
if
it.
If there are, I exceeded it.
Oh, man, no.
I just remember flying through those 50 kilometers.
If you ever want to like stress test any close relationship, walk 45K with someone in insane summer heat.
And
like
mosquitoes.
It was, oh my God. And yeah, you just get back and you're just, we did it. We only had one fight in all those kilometers. we made it to, I think, Belleville, and we were going to go take the GO bus back to Toronto. And Cam really, really wanted McDonald's, and there was McDonald's on the way, and we both shredded our feet. We were both like bleeding and sore. It was like 1,000 degrees out. And we get to this McDonald's. McDonald's was out of fries.
Oh, no.
Their door was broken. So the only way to get in was you had to bang on the door and then someone inside would come let you in. So Cam goes in. I'm outside with the dog and it's taking so long. And I'm watching like the clock tick down as I know we have to get to that GO bus and the next one's not for another hour. And I'm like, I can't go inside. I have a dog and the door's broken. So I can't even like open the door and be like, Cam, come on. And I'm texting and I'm like, we have to go. And they're like, I just need a chicken wrap. And we just are getting so mad at each other because we made it to the GO bus with maybe a minute and a half to spare.
Ooh.
Did Cam get the chicken wrap?
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
And
tense,
then
though.
And once we actually got on the bus, it was like, we're okay, we're fine. But like,
oh, I thought you were gonna say that's when the proper fight starts.
Yes, that's when I headbutted Cam on a GO bus. No, that wouldn't work. They're like 6'4". Yeah, it's but yes, we made it that far, and that was the only fight was me being like, get out here, we're gonna miss the bus. I gotta just get the wrap. I'm like, oh my God,
just nice. Get the wrap and
Alex,
go.
What's your camping food?
So for real backpack camping, you know, there's a couple of tricks. Number one is like preparation is key, right? So, you know, I will think instead of bringing, you know, a couple onions and some potatoes and garlic and everything, you know, you prepare it. And so I would have this like package, and I do the same thing at home on the barbecue, but you know, a package wrapped of all your potatoes are all cut up, onions, garlic, it's all in there ready to just throw on the fire. So you just pull that out of your, you know, and that goes right in the hot coals. So that's like
right in the plastic bag.
That
like a foil packet or whatever.
If you ever taken eggs camping, you know, crack the eggs and put them in a Ziploc because then you don't have to carry the whole eggs
egg as is.
Funny enough, that's what we did last time and I never thought about it.
Stick a straw in and suck.
It's like a gel pack. It's protein.
Everything's a gel pack if you try hard enough.
But I do have a funny story. I remember it was like 2.5 hours for me and it was 2.5 hours for them. This is Jacob and Jordan going way back several years ago. And they were coming from Windsor, Ontario, and I'm coming from Pickering. And so we were going meeting in the middle, and there was like six of them, and I was coming on my own. And so I thought, I'm like this, you know, nimble, light packer, light packing guy. I'm just going to grab a bunch of packs of hot dogs and I'll survive for a couple weeks on that. Or not a couple weeks, a couple days. Holy shit. By like,
oh, I remember this story,
two?
But not from you. I remember Jacob talking about this. Like,
it was just
fucking
like
hot dogs.
The fucking farts. Every time I burped, breathed, farted, every shit, everything smelled like fucking hot dogs. It was like so terrible.
All
I would highly discourage
you. Preserved your whole digestive tract.
Those nitrates, you really?
Hot dogs are terrible for
day
you.
Number two, I was like, hey, can I have some salad, do you think?
I got the hot dog shakes.
Try to barter your food.
I'm like,
for
you guys can have a pack
sustained.
Of hot dogs. I just want a handful of lettuce.
That's great.
Some roughage, anything.
He's eating a leaf.
But all that aside, the best thing I had was when I went camping and one guy, it was a weekend thing and it was a hiking thing, but the one guy brought fresh sausages that were like made at the butcher's. And
oh, nice.
We found a couple of pokey sticks and cooked those over the fire. Oh man, it was just like this.
Not
perfect.
To be confused for snacking sticks.
Yeah, no.
Sticks that you want to
walking
you say
stick.
Pokey sticks. I thought he meant like Pokemon sticks.
Oh. Pokey sticks. But it was just, I don't know, something about that, like way better than gas barbecue. You know, I mean, you might get it on a charcoal barbecue, but because you couldn't even see, you know, I was like tasting these sausages to see if they were done. And I'm like, nah, not done yet. Nope. Back on the fire.
I think there's also something extra special about camping food being that like you're probably pretty tired and you spend a bunch of time outside. And so the food just tastes so much better.
Absolutely.
100%. That's
why those goose taste so good.
Shut up.
I mean, I'm not super hardcore about camping, but I do love to like get out to Provincial Park or something once a year and, you know, sit for a week in the woods and go hiking and all that stuff. And I think 7 or 8 years ago, for Christmas, I got like a little camp stove, like propane camp stove. That's a game changer for camping.
100%.
And the go-to is like a halloumi burger. So you go buy some halloumi cheese, crisp it up in the pan, get some like red onions and red pepper, some paprika, salt, pepper, oil on all that, get some veggies on there.
And no meat, just the halloumi.
Yeah, halloumi.
Oh,
well,
that's awesome.
It's a protein vegetable after walking through the whole day on a sandwich. Just tastes way better than it ought to. It has a very like all dressed potato chip kind of vibe with those vegetables and spices and stuff. I don't know. Very good. My go-to.
So do you slice the halloumi or do you use the chunk?
No, you sort of make it like a patty, like a couple of slices or something that, as if it was a burger patty size, but
like
then
slice it the long way.
Yeah.
Burger patty size piece of cheese.
Big chunk of cheese.
Yeah.
Crisped up real good. It's like fucking go to town.
Burger, I call it.
Yeah. You were hiking all day. You deserve it.
I want a brick of cheese after I hike.
Of course you do.
It's the best, highly recommended.
I want a brick of cheese when I wake up in the morning.
This is my morning constitutional.
This is my morning cheese.
Well, do we want to see what our other weirdos are up to camping in the woods?
Oh,
yeah. I want Red to have a whole burger.
Good one. Yeah. I'd guarantee Doran won't even cook those potatoes.
Rations. Only rations.
Goo for Doran. It's definitely goo for Doran.
It's goo time.
Here we go.
Woo!
Woo! Ow! After revealing the true nature of the Midnight Carnival and dispatching the three witches, you retire to the barracks to clean up and get some much-deserved rest. It's still before dawn when you're rudely awoken by the unmistakable sounds of combat. It would seem that Captain Bebe was right in predicting an imminent giant attack, and based on the crashing sounds of flying boulders and the flurry of soldiers in the rooms all around you, this is no false alarm.
Hello. What was that?
Whoa.
Did you hear that?
Oh, my God.
Doran, are you snoring? There's a terrible crashing.
I thought that was him snoring.
Oh, my God.
Not this time, I don't think.
Oh my god.
It's happening.
What's going on?
What's happening?
The giant, they're attacking. Veranda's like looking out the window and there's a boulder flies by.
Oh my god. I was in this dream. I totally forgot where I even was in this world until I woke up to these boulders landing around.
Doran, snap out of it.
Red slaps Doran.
Sorry.
It's time. We have to head to Denstowed Clef. This is our only chance.
Shouldn't we stay and fight these giants?
No, that's the
That's
hope.
Not the plan.
Yeah, what?
Right, of course.
Everyone in this town is counting on us. Come on, everybody.
Red puts his pack over his shoulder and heads to the door. And Red sort of opens it for a second and maybe, like, looks up. There's, like, a mesh over this town, right?
Yeah, there's... Right. It's not a mesh so much as just, like, some chains almost in, like, a lattice pattern to kind of try to prevent the worst of the boulder damage. Veranda looks at you, Red, and then turns to face Jack and Mari and Doran. I'm going to stay here and... I try to help with the siege. I won't be any help to you in Deadstone Cleft, I don't think.
What?
Are you sure?
Well, what do you mean, is she sure? Look at her.
You are the heroes. Thank you so much for everything that you've done for me.
Veranda. And Red walks over. You're a hero. You stood up to the people who captured you, who took you from your home. But if you think staying
this
here...
This is the first time she gets to make her own decision in her life. You stay here. We've got to go to Deadstone Cleft.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I was just trying to have a give her a goodbye.
Sorry.
That's fine. Never mind. Jack, you know what? No, it's fine. Doesn't matter. Bye, Veranda.
Thank you so much for everything that you've done for me. I'll never forget you.
And then Doran stops, and he turns around, holding his axe in a very thematic way. You know, boulders flying in behind him. He looks at Veranda, and he says,
Veranda, you've been a key player up to this point, but now it's up to us.
And I look at Jack, and I look at Red, and I look at Mari, and I say,
now it's our chance to make a difference. To Deadstone Cleft!
And he lifts his axe in the air.
Wow, a good night's sleep really puts Doran in a good mood.
He's way peppier.
Sorry, buddy, get the yelling out. We're gonna be in espionage mode soon, so we're gonna have to keep it quiet. So get all the yelling out right now.
That boy needs more sleep.
Mari's got like crazy bedhead. She's just so rumpled.
She's still in bed. She's not an early riser. She's like, what is everyone
else? She's like trying desperately to put on that tiny silver cape, and it like just won't go.
All right, let's go. And Red hangs with Veranda for 1 second, just says, good luck, and you have great potential in you. You're more than what they made of you. I'm proud of you.
I think I can be. Thank you, Red. Then she claps you on the back. Now go!
Till we meet again!
And Red runs out the door.
The streets outside the barracks, still slick with the supernatural blood rain from last night, are chaotic from this new threat. People are everywhere, though most of the commotion is up on the tops of the walls as the soldiers rush to take defensive positions. You can hear Captain Bebe shouting orders from above, and he pauses long enough to address you as you make your way out into the street.
Now, you four! It's time! Take the wicket gate in the south wall! And good luck!
Thanks, baby!
Good luck, baby!
Doran raises his fist and says, to arms!
This way, Doran! No, this way, Doran! It's the left!
Goodbye, baby! Here's to another thematic goodbye!
Yeah, and as you guys pass through the streets, like, everyone has a word to say to you. Good luck, blah, blah, blah!
We're no longer the Nightstone Four. We're the defeaters of the Midnight Carnival. And then I clarify... We killed those three. You don't know what... but listen, I know you all saw it as a joyous carnival, but we'll explain later.
Oh, did we want to go with the Deadstone Four?
Every time Mari talks to one of them, she just casts guidance on them very carefully because it's a cantrip, and so maybe they'll survive a little longer.
Nice.
So.
Boulders sail through the air overhead. Some are caught up by the chain and netting, but some pass through, crashing into rooftops. Wilhelm screams fill the air as soldiers fly from the battlements. It's, as I said, a scene of chaos.
You know what we need? We need a Dice Shame stock Wilhelm scream.
Ooh.
Alex, when you can... I want you.
I'm just trying to think of what's a Wilhelm scream.
It's that scream, you know, that like, it's in Star Wars, it's in Indiana Jones, it's that. It's this. So we need like a stock, our version of a Wilhelm scream. Perfect. We got it. That's it. Be prepared to hear that a lot. All right, back in. Sorry, Joe.
As you hustle through the streets, you can hear the sound of giant footsteps outside the walls. You can feel the rumbling of the ground underneath you. There must be dozens of them out there. As you pass through the city, you see that there's a house on fire nearby, and it sounds like there are people inside.
We have to help them. Quickly, before we leave. It'll only take a minute. Red runs over to the blaze.
You forget that I know water spells. And she follows after.
But wait.
Tongues of flame are licking out of the windows, and you can hear the creaks of timber as it seems like the roof is maybe in danger of collapsing.
Red stops in front of the blaze. It's so hot. So fiery. We can hear you in there.
There's someone stuck inside. We're going to have to rush in.
Mari, do your water thing.
I'm trying.
No, stop.
What?
And Doran puts his hands up.
If you pour water on it now, you'll steam them alive.
Ooh.
Ooh. He's right. He's right. We need to get them out before putting the fire out. Wow, Doran.
Well.
What's your intelligence score? Yeah, right now? Doran.
A good night's sleep changes Doran. Just put it out.
Doran's a whole new character.
I once poured a bucket of water on my hot ironing coals, and I got steamed in the face. It was the most painful thing I'd ever felt.
That's right. And Red looks at the camera. As a blacksmith, Doran would know this. And then he looks back into the action.
Alex, I want to give you inspiration for that. I think that's very cool. Yeah, well done.
Well, let's do this. And Red looks nervously to the others.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Okay. And Red jumps up in your arms.
Yeah.
Throw me through.
Aw, this is like episode 2 styles.
What about that window, Red? Here we go.
I'm also going to cast Guidance on Doran and Red, because I think just because.
Doran, make a strength check to hurl your friend through this window.
All right.
Your friend. Sorry, your brother.
Mm-hmm.
A 12. Ooh, not
no,
a very good
with the guidance,
with
two?
You can add a d4. Add 1d4.
Add a d4. Doran, throw me good, please.
A 13.
Doran's
oh,
like,
oh no.
No. That's not very good.
All right, Doran, throw me.
Toast.
Let's
me.
Just hope you don't get too hurt.
Okay. I'm fine with this.
I don't think you will. What's your HP?
You got like 60 odd health, right, to play with?
I do have resistance to fire damage, which Jack/Rob just pointed out, and I totally forgot.
Oh, so, yeah, it makes perfect sense for you to dash into a fire.
I was just being a fucking hero, but
well,
I appreciate that it
you
also
still
makes
are
sense
the hero
canonically for my character.
Yeah. Doran, you gather Red up in your arms. Mm-hmm.
I like this position.
Furry, squiggly friend.
I feel safe.
Cannonball, throw him through the window.
I don't feel safe anymore!
Red, unfortunately, the window was not open. You break through the window. You take 1d4 slashing damage. 1 damage.
Nice.
And you land prone. Which, actually, in a burning building is not a bad way to land.
It's the best place to land. I'm inside! And covered in glass!
I can't believe how heroic he is.
God, I feel so stupid for doing this. And Red starts, like, crawling across the floor, trying to find anybody. Hello, is anyone in here? I really hope so. I only heard one yell.
Plumes of thick black smoke are pouring from the walls. Furniture all around you is erupting into flame. And you can hear screams coming from the back room. The door is closed and it is on fire.
Why does everyone make everything out of wood? Red walks over the door and stands up, and fighting the flames, he reels back and checks it with all of his might. All
right. Make a strength check, Red.
Noodle arms.
Noodle arms, indeed. A natural 1.
No!
Oh, no!
Oh,
no.
Shame, shame.
Boy, yeah, shame. Shame that die.
Shame.
Noodle
what
do
you
think?
I am shaming this. Get out of here, blue die.
So bye, blue die.
See you later.
Overcooked pasta of arms.
Yeah. My arms are just...
You just kind of press your shoulder up against the door and you get...
a splinter!
You get burned. You take 3 fire damage, so that's 1 damage with your resistance.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, the door does not open. It appears to be a pull door.
Oh! And Red stands there for a second, like, hands on his hips as the fire blazes around him. He's like, this is fine. This is fine.
Yeah, sure.
And he reaches forward and he slowly pulls the door open.
Yeah, you open the door to reveal a small family all cowering together in the middle of the room. There's a daddy and a mommy and a little baby. And the three of them are fearfully looking all around them.
Red runs over and grabs the little baby and holds him in his arms and says, come on, crawl to the window.
Excellent. Yeah, Red, you lead this family heroically through the burning building. Timbers all around you begin to fall in showers of sparks.
Don't worry, guys. We're at the window now. Just jump. My friends are below ready to catch you. I know this.
Are you sure?
Yes. I've never been more sure of anything. We are the defeaters of the Midnight Carnival, and we always help others.
All right. I'll go.
Oh, shit. They're going to jump out that window.
Oh, God. Mari's running over.
The woman runs to the window and
no, that window!
Jumps out.
Like waiting for just
a mad dash dive to get within 30 feet and try and catch them with my mind quick before they splat on the ground.
Yeah.
I like that. Very good.
Got him.
And Doran offers up his body as sacrifice towards catching them as well.
Just a baby lands on Doran's head. Just
they all go through three different windows.
Mari, how do you save yours?
Wait, am I getting the dad?
You get
She just accepts her fate. I don't have a good
Mari,
spell for this.
You take 4 bludgeoning damages. A man lands on you.
It's amazing.
It's a real hero.
And then Red, the only one left in the building, is like, all right. And they got me. And he like puts his arms wide and like T-poses falling out of the window, expecting all three of his friends to catch him.
That's hilarious.
Here I come.
Yeah, it doesn't go well for you, Red.
Ow! Oh. What the hell?
Oh, you think you had it bad? Get off.
Didn't you get the knowing look? Oh, God.
The smoke. No. Well, the smoke was in the air.
I sensed they would have leapt from the windows. So, you know, good call. Oh,
good job.
Yeah. Good job, Red.
That's good. I'm glad we helped them. And Mari sort of waves her hand and casts Create Water, which just causes rain to pour down on the house to try to put it out as she sort of like hobbles over.
Yes.
Oh.
There's no one else inside, right?
Oh, yeah. There was a whole other second family.
There was an uncooked turkey.
My player piano.
My vegetables weren't steamed.
My stair stepper.
In a sizzle of dark ash, the rain falls and puts out this terrible fire. The family collects their baby from you and they head off into the night to find safety somewhere else. While overhead, boulders clatter into the chains directly above your heads, keeping you safe for now.
At least there's no mechanical spiders up there.
Stop saying that!
If you want real spiders, I can offer real spiders.
No, we gotta go. We gotta get out of here.
We want less spiders in this party.
More spiders.
Those chains are only gonna hold so long. We better get moving.
As you head off again in the pre-dawn, you see that there is a young soldier huddled underneath the stairs of the parapet. Looks like he's shaking and white-faced, looking all around him.
Doran sees this figure and knows right away this is known as Boulder Shock. And he runs over and he kneels down next to him.
Only happens when boulders are being thrown.
He says, are you okay? You look a little stunned.
Yeah, I am. This is my first time. My first battle.
It's all pretty scary and fast, isn't it? Yeah, I've been there. I know what you mean. Gotta breathe. Breathe. Breathe with me. Come on, in through your nose. Out through your mouth.
Wait, in through which one?
In through your nose, out through your mouth.
At the same time?
Look at me. Look at me. Listen to my voice. You're okay. If you sit here, you're going to get smushed by a boulder. But if you get out there and you give it 110%, then you never know. You might just get missed by a boulder.
Or smushed by a man.
Or smushed by a man. That's right, Mari. You should be up here giving me this motivational speech. Now listen here. Get on your feet. Come on. Come with me.
He stands up a little shakily. You can see he must be not even 16, maybe. The spear in his hands quavering with his nerves.
How old are you, kid?
I'm not even 16.
Should have known that from the narrator.
He's got a little spray of acne across his cheeks.
You want to get that checked.
And he kind of grabs him by the shoulder gently, but like leading him right towards the four of us together.
Come on, this is Doran. I'm Doran. This is Red.
Hi.
This is Jack. And that's Mari.
Hello.
Now listen, come on with us. We're going to get up to the front.
And I want to bring him along until we find a next problem. And let him help with the problem and regain his confidence.
Oh, I like that.
Okay, you got to start.
You're
with
going
small.
To the front?
Yes, and we're going to take you there with us. But we've seen a lot of damage along the way, and we could use your help. So come on.
Okay.
Come with us.
What's your name, kid?
Levi.
Levon?
Levon.
Levi Levon. I love it.
Levi?
You got a war wound.
Just rolls off the tongue.
He's got a nice pair of jeans.
And they say he's Levon.
Excellent. So you have a 15-year-old in tow.
I thought you said he was almost 16.
He's not quite. Yet 16.
Not yet. So that makes him 15.
He's 15 and
he's
seven,
actually 12.
With math, really.
Not quite
right.
16
can't drive yet.
He's 2.
He's 8. Yeah,
anything before is 50, 16.
He's in a stroller, yeah.
Not quite 16.
Goo goo ga ga.
This is my spiel.
It's a nice stick. Now put it down before you hurt someone and go find your mom.
Come on, kid.
You head off again with this young soldier in tow. And as you make your way through to the southern side of the city, one of the larger gates that you pass by is under attack and seems to be in danger of splitting open. The timbers of the gate are shuddering with impacts from the other side. Soldiers are running around. Looks like they have a pile of shoring materials, some logs, some stones, but there's too much chaos right now. Some of them just drop what they're doing and head up to the battlements to take aim at the giants that are mounting the attack against the outer gates. Some of them just standing around looking. They don't know what to do. There's no leadership here.
I want to make a roll for insight into this young man that's with us.
Levi, sure.
Levon?
Yeah, roll insight.
Levi, Levon.
Just from our short interaction.
He's a witch.
If he would make a good leader.
Anyone will make a good leader. Doran's whole backstory has taught that.
I was going to say if he would make a good rock and you were going to throw him as well.
Just use him as bracing material. Pile him up against the door.
So that's going to be an unnatural 20, actually.
Whoa!
Nice.
Doran's in the heat of battle. Got his shit together.
Levi has an open innocence on his face. He seems like he could be shaped into just about anything, but his lack of experience on the battlefield leaves him unsure of himself right now.
Do it, Doran. Craft this young man. These people need a leader. Someone needs to get them organized, and we can't do it. We gotta go.
I'm like standing analyzing this guy's face, and Red's whispering that in my ear.
As you stand there, the gates continually take this pounding, and the timbers are splitting down the middle.
Levi.
Yes?
Look at those men over there.
Yeah.
You know what they need? They need some organization. If they all get up against that gate, they might be able to stop that giant from coming through. But they need those lumbers over there. And they're going to need those men over there. And I'm looking at you. I can't stop my mission, but I'm looking at you. Do you think you can tell them to get up there and work together?
I can pass the message on.
Get those people together. Get them organized in whatever way you see fit. If you can do that, you might just save this town.
Roll persuasion.
A 10.
He seems a little bit unsure of himself. So I just run over there and tell them to throw some wood on it?
Either you take charge or you find somebody else that's going to take charge. Get moving, because that gate looks like it's coming down. And I can't stop. We're on our own mission.
When you were a soldier, Levon, who trained you? Did you have a role model in the army?
Yeah, my dad.
And what would he say?
He would say, get your shit together, son. This is time to act. It's time right now.
Breathe in your nose. Breathe out your mouth. Get moving and find somebody.
Okay.
Take charge, kid. We'll see you again when we're back. Good luck, Levi.
And you watch as this young man grabs the spear and runs off. And he looks back at you, unsure, for just a second. And then he spots somebody up on the wall.
and you see him rush over and yank on the guy's arm, turns him around roughly and starts pointing at all of the piles of these timbers and says something to him. You can't quite hear what it is. But then the man turns down and starts barking orders, and the soldiers begin to move in concert to shore up this gate.
Was it Levi or Levon? Either way, he's dead.
Yeah, as you guys leave, a boulder just
crunches. Well, I guess he's one of those ones that gets smushed.
I guess he should have stayed there.
That was like what Doran needed. I'm sorry to say, but like he needed to inspire somebody to do something. They all get into order and he's like, I did it. I made something with my...
But in my mind, like Doran's turned around and the background shows the guy get crushed, yeah. And Red sees it and he's like, keep facing this way, Doran. It's okay. Let's just keep going. And Doran's like, you know what? I'll give him one last wink. And like, no, it's fine. It's fine. Keep going.
Yes, go. Exactly.
Come on, let's go. We need to take this opportunity.
Yeah, let's keep moving.
War is hell. Let's get the hell out of here.
Thank you once again to our wonderful Patreon supporters, Adam Fry, Amanda Kitchener, Amy Garza, Anne, Cecil Lee Wilson, Jerry Rose Anderson, Christopher, Colin Burkhart, Crow, Cypress Key, Cytosine, DS, Danny, Default Trauma, Dippity, Elizabeth H, Emma, Ghost, Haley, Papa the Marks, Heather Nichols, JD, Joy Robinson, KR, KM, Cade, Kirsten Wolf, Lasagna, Last Ruth on the Left, Leader J, Lizzie Demon, Lorelei Feldman, Matilda Rushing, Marie, Melinda Curley, Mills, Melissa, Merlin, Nimble Dingo, Regan, Ren, Ruth Ann Reed, Scotty, Sky, S-Ray 96, Tara Bite, Tony Pepperoni, Xander Morning Dove, and Zach House. Woo!
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional, unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.